Jason's going to sing another special for us here tonight. This would be the preacher's specialty.
So precious is Jesus, my Savior, my King. His praise all the day long with rapture I sing. To Him in my weakness, for strength I can cling. For He is so precious to me. What shame that so long He entreated in vain, for He is so precious to me, for He is so precious to me, for He is so precious to me. Redeemer to know, for He is precious to me.
I'm glad that the preacher was able to stay over to tonight, and I asked him if he'd be willing to stay and preach again for us tonight, and he reluctantly did so. No, he was more than happy to do so. And so, once again, we have the preaching by Brother Matthew Renzi. You pray that God would bless him as he preaches to us and give him freedom to speak and say the things that we need to hear. Amen. And let's all have hearing ears. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so, brother, you come. Preach to us right now. God bless you.
Amen. Boy, that was some good singing, wasn't it? I'll tell you, when I think of that song, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Not everybody sees how precious and how beautiful Jesus is. But blessed are our eyes and our ears. The nation of Israel did not value him. He wasn't precious. He was the price of a slave. They didn't know. They didn't know. Amen? But for you and I that are saved, man, just to know who he is and to know him, what a value. Amen? What a beautiful thing, isn't it? I'll tell you, that was wonderful. I appreciate that. Well, we got one more message tonight, and it's good to be here. And I want to thank Pastor and his wife for wonderful dinner. Amen? He asked if I would preach tonight, and I was questioning whether I could hang around, and he said, we'll go and get you some veal and spaghetti. I said, I'll be preaching tonight here. Amen. But so we had a good time of fellowship at the house, and thank the Lord for that. And well, thank you for being attentive throughout the day as well. And let's get through tonight. Amen. Would you turn to Matthew chapter number 27 tonight, please? Matthew chapter number 27. I'm so glad that time periods, seasons don't limit the Word of God. Amen. Some of you will understand when we get to where we're going tonight, Matthew chapter number 27. And we're working on a new pair of glasses now, so we have both ends. So to hold some things together, amen. And Matthew chapter number 27, I don't know why, but as I prayed for the Lord to help me to know what to preach today, I look through sermon titles that I have, and I wait for the Holy Spirit, to touch my heart, maybe about something. And this is something that touched my heart, and I want to preach a little bit tonight on this scripture. Matthew 27, would you look at verse number 62? We're going to read Matthew 27, 62. We're going to read through chapter 28, verse number 10, just to get the context here. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62, the Bible says, now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priest and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, imagine calling Jesus a deceiver, amen. But that's what they saw in him. They said that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. It's amazing how the enemy remembered what he said, but the disciples didn't remember what he said. Amen. About rising again. It's amazing how enemies can be very intent on catching you and saying something. Amen. And therefore they catch a lot of truth, but yet they don't apply it. Amen. Would to God we were as attentive. Can I get a witness there? Amen. I want you to look with me in verse number 60. And they said, this deceiver is going to say, I'm going to rise again. Verse number 64. They said, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away. It sounds like they already got their excuse lined up. That's what they, by the way, they say. You know what they did? They gave money to the soldiers to say, the disciples stole him in the night while we were sleeping, which is a pretty stupid answer, because if you were sleeping, how do you know it was the disciples? But nonetheless, they said, don't worry about how stupid the saying is. We just need something, amen? And by the way, evolution is stupid, isn't it? A lot of stupid things. But anyway, we got to stay on track here, amen? They said, command that the sepulcher be made sure, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away. And say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last hour shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have your watch. I like this, what he says. Go make it as sure as you can. Go make it as sure as you can, amen? And by the way, it wasn't sure enough for them, was it? Verse number 66, so they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Verse number 28. I want you to note something in verse number 28, or chapter 28, verse number 1. I want you to note something. In the end of the Sabbath. Now, by the way, there are statements in the Bible that there's more than meets the eye. More than meets the eye. You know, we're reading about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose on the first day of the week. That's why we're here on the Lord's Day. That's why we worship on Sunday. Every Sunday is a resurrection reminder to us. In the economy of the day, the Jewish calendar, the emphasis was the Sabbath day. Verse 1 of chapter 28 says, in the end of the Sabbath day. Let me tell you what the resurrection did. It kind of ended the Sabbath day. In reference of the day of worship. Amen? Watch this now. Look at the rest of the verse. In the end of the Sabbath day, as it began toward what? The first day of the week. There's a change because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? And there's different verses throughout the Bible that you'll note that'll have kind of mean more than meets the eye, if you will. But anyway, it goes on to say that came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And by the way, let me say this. The stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. He didn't need the stone rolled away to let him out. Remember, the doors were shut where the disciples were, and he just came on in. Amen? Glorified body. Walked twice. Say, why didn't he open the sepulcher to let you and I in?
Amen.
We need to see. He ain't there. Amen? By the way, look at verse number six. His countenance was like lightning about this angel, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered, said, fear not. I'm sorry, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was, that's past tense, crucified. Amen? Verse number six, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. By the way, he did what he said, right? That means he'll do what he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. The evidence is there. The stone's rolled away. Look, he's not there. Amen? Verse number seven, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, mixed emotions. Amen. And did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Amen. This is a wonderful, wonderful scripture, amen, about the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm afraid that too much we focus on these things only at certain time periods through the year. Christmas is not a time. And I don't mean Christmas, you know, the term Christmas. It's a truth of the Word of God that needs to be understood and experienced throughout the year. Amen. The resurrection as well. It's not limited to a particular time. It's not a time. It's a truth that makes the difference. Amen. And I want to talk a little bit tonight on this topic, because he lives. Because he lives. Now, I know you've never heard that thought before, did you? Amen. Many people know that wonderful song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Amen. I want to give you just three thoughts tonight. Actually, I shouldn't say thoughts, because there's a lot of thoughts I want to give you tonight. Three particular points, if you will, tonight on the fact of because he lives. Number one, I want you to note this. Because he lives, we have a personal Savior and salvation. Amen. Because Jesus Christ is alive, you and I have, if we're saved, we have a personal Savior and we have a personal salvation. Amen. By the way, you can't have a personal relationship with a dead person. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, if Jesus is not alive right now, you have no relationship with anybody. Amen.
But because he's alive, we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's what salvation is. Salvation is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? Salvation is the result of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And by the way, I think in our particular day, we need to understand there's a big difference between knowing about him and knowing him. There's a lot of people that not know a lot of things about him, but yet they don't know him. Amen. And that's the big distinction. That's where people really need to get to, knowing him. Amen. Knowing about him ought to lead us to knowing him in a personal way. Would you be so kind as to turn to Philippians chapter number 3, please? Philippians chapter number 3. Because he lives, we have a personal Savior and a personal salvation. Amen. You don't get saved because you're a part of a church. You don't get saved because you're a part of a family. You get saved because you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Amen. I want you to listen to a verse while you're going to Philippians chapter number 3. Would you listen to John 17:3, please? Here's what Jesus said. And this is life eternal, which is salvation, by the way. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Amen. Knowing the true God of heaven is knowing him through Jesus Christ. Amen. God didn't send Muhammad. God didn't send Gandhi. God didn't send this prophet, that prophet, like many false religions have mistaken. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And through him and him alone can we know God and know salvation. Amen. And so we need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now in the book of Philippians chapter number 3, Paul gives his testimony. He gives his testimony about everything that he was holding on to that he thought was the key to his salvation. Amen. I want you to know in verse number 1 of chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, he said, by the way, anytime a preacher says finally, it's not over. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, for you it is safe. Let me tell you what he says as a preacher. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told you before. It's not a burden for me to reiterate because for you it's safe. You're going to hear the same thing a lot of times, but that's okay. We need to, amen? Look at verse number 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. In other words, beware of the Judaizers who are going to come in and tell you you need more than Jesus as your Savior. He goes on to say, look at verse number 3. For we are the circumcision in reference to the Jews. We are Jewish people himself and those Jews that had gotten saved. We are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. The flesh is not the key to salvation. Watch this now. And we rejoice. And that word rejoice has to do with trust. We trust Christ Jesus. And we have no confidence in the flesh. Paul the apostle saying this. Knowing Jesus Christ alone is the key to being saved. Though Jewish people will tell you that you need this, that, and the other thing in order to be saved. You know, Paul thought that at one time as well. In fact, in his testimony, he says, hey, I, like you, used to depend on all of my Jewishness, if you will. I want you to look at verse number 4 to pick up on it. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, that he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul saying, listen, I the more could trust in my flesh for salvation. Verse number 5, he said, I'm circumcised the eighth day. I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I'm a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless. Paul went on to list all of his credentials that he used to think made him right with God. In fact, let me just say this. Remember John the Baptist was baptizing those that were repenting? And remember the Pharisees had come to watch the baptism and he said, what are you doing here? Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? See, they weren't there to repent. They weren't there to get baptized and identify with the message of John. They were there as spectators. You know what John said to them? He said, let me tell you, you need to be saved. And here's what he said, begin not to say within yourself, but we have Abraham to our father. You know why? Because they thought because we're children of Abraham, we're in. We're saved. We don't need to repent. Amen. And that was a false hope, if you will. Amen. God can take of these stones and raise up children unto Abraham. By the way, they say this. They say the land of Israel is littered with stones. In fact, there was a saying that the stones were like basically like Gentiles, just numerous all around. And I wonder if there's a little allusion to the fact that, hey, God can raise up stones. God can raise up children unto Abraham. By the way, Gentiles get saved. We are children of Abraham. Children of his faith, not of his flesh. Amen? I want you to note something. Look at verse number seven. So what we have, Paul the Apostle says, listen, be careful of those who say, knowing Jesus Christ is not enough. You need to be baptized. You need to join a church. You need to take communion. And they give you all the sacraments, if you will. Listen, Paul's saying, listen, there was a time when in the flesh I had it all lined up. I thought everything was okay between me and God. But then he learned something. Look at verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those that I thought was winning my salvation, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of what? The knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Everything that I thought was saving my soul, I had to give it up. I had to say, no, it's not saving me. I have to know Him and Him alone as my personal Savior. Amen? You got people today with their hands, they're holding on to whatever religious beliefs they have. These are going to save my soul. They get confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the free salvation that you have to do nothing for but believe and trust. And some of them are saying, our hands are full, but put Jesus right here. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. I want to hold on to my religious beliefs and I'll take him as well. No. That's not what saves a soul. You come to the understanding through the scriptures. None of this means nothing. When it comes to the salvation of my soul, I drop what I believe and what I hoped in, and I simply trust and hold on to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Amen? That's what it's all about, isn't it? Verse number 9, and be found in Him. That's a wonderful place to be found. Amen. By the way, a great sermon outline. There's another text in Peter that says about being found of Him. When he comes back, we want to be found in peace and holiness. This has got to do with salvation. That's got to do with sanctification. I want to be found saved and I want to be found sanctified by the Lord. Amen. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. By the way, that's what all the religious things was. My own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, not by works, but by faith. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. On your birthday, hopefully somebody gives you something. If you're married here, hopefully somebody next to you gives you something. Can I get a witness on that one? If somebody gave you a birthday gift and then 2 minutes later said, by the way, here's the receipt for that. This is what you owe me. Folks, can I tell you, you could throw away the word gift. It's no longer a gift. God doesn't change his mind. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me tell you what happened. People, religion, churches come between the gift and you. And they put a price tag on it. I grew up poor. I'm not rich at all, but I grew up poor. Mom raised 5 boys on welfare. Father was an alcoholic. Come from a bad. That's why Jesus is so precious to me. I have a story, you know. And he's been so good to me, my family. We would have to go get government cheese. Anybody ever have to get government cheese? Thank you. Thank you. I'm not alone. You probably read the package, didn't you? You know what it says? Not for sale. Not for resale. See, what the government did, they give out free cheese and stuff like that, and they put a thing on there. This is not for resale. This is not for you to get for free and sell it. Amen. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. His gift to us is for free. Amen. And that's why it's a gift. Amen. because he lives, we have a personal Savior and a personal salvation. It's personal. It's not a prayer. Say this prayer with me. By the way, I heard a preacher, a bigwig, talk about how he led people to the Lord, telling them to pray a prayer and then explaining afterwards what they did. If you have to explain to somebody what they did, they didn't do it. Amen? Prayer is a response, if you will. It's a cry from your heart after you understand. I need him. I'm lost. He died for me. He loved me. He died to save me. I understand. Lord, save me. Amen? It's not, Lord, save me now, and somebody's going to tell you what you did. Amen? It's personal. The Apostle Paul had to give up what he thought he knew. By the way, that's where the pride of man comes in. Can I get a witness? We have to give up what we think and submit to what God said. Kind of reminds me of Naaman. Remember Naaman the leper, right? You remembered how that servant that they had stole away and was in his house. And by the way, that was a miracle that she was so gracious to them to say, hey, I think that there's a prophet that can help you. And you remember it was Elisha, I believe. Or was it Elijah? Somebody help me. Elisha, okay, thank you. I get them two guys mixed up. Their names are so. But anyway, you remember how Naaman came with his entourage. The big wig, the big man. And he went down there and Elisha wouldn't even come out to talk to him. Wouldn't even come out to see him. You know, Naaman got upset. Whoa, hold on a minute here. Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know this? Doesn't he know that? Doesn't he know that? What happened? He sent a word. Go dip in the muddy Jordan River 7 times. And you'll come up and that leprosy will be gone and you'll have like baby skin. It sounds like the new birth, if you will. Talk about newborn. Can I get a witness? Yes. And he got upset. And he's like, oh, you know, we have better rivers. Yeah, well, those rivers ain't doing nothing for you. Salvation's of the Jew. Somebody underneath him had enough common sense to say, hey, listen, if he told you to do some great thing, you'd have no problem. Can I get a witness? Yeah, I'll do it as long as my plaque goes up in the front. And so this servant talked some sense into Naaman, and Naaman just said, you're okay. And he went, he submitted, and he humbled himself, he dipped himself, and he came up, and there it is. Leprosy's cleansed, picture of salvation, new birth, baby skin. In the Bible, you only read of one man touching a leper and cleansing him, and that's Jesus Christ. That prophet didn't come out and touch that man. That man said, I thought you were going to do a Benny Hinn on me. I thought you were going to come out and strike your hand over my forehead. I was going to fall. You understand what I'm saying here? He thought it was going to be one of those big meetings where everybody's going to see it. He's going to be the man. No. See, if Elisha would have came out and took his human hand and touched him, nothing would have happened. Elisha could not ruin the picture. The only one that can cleanse leprosy, which is a picture of sin, is God himself, is Jesus himself. No other man can touch a leper and cleanse him. In fact, that's why when you read the Gospels, you never read of a healing of leprosy. It's always cleansing, because leprosy pictures sin. Amen? Paul the Apostle had to humbly give up what he was depending on and personally trust Christ as his Savior. But I'm sure he was glad on death row in 2 Timothy 1:12 when he said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. Amen? It wasn't what I believe. It wasn't, you know, what church I believe. And so it's a person whom I believe. Amen? It's who you know. It's who you know. Some people use that term about, you know, this guy's got this, that, and the other thing. Why do you have this, that? It's who you know. By the way, that's what salvation's all about. It's who you know. It's knowing him, amen? But equally important, it's who knows you. It's who knows you. Now watch this. John 10:27. Don't turn there. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Most important thing, it's wonderful to know him, but it's wonderful to think that he knows me. In fact, in Matthew chapter number 7, many will say to the Lord in that day, Lord, Lord, but you can call him Lord, Lord, and yet not be his. We preached in your name. We performed miracles in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And he said, depart from me. Here's the problem. I never knew you. I never had a personal relationship. You were on the church rolls, but you weren't on heaven's rolls. You knew the preacher, but you didn't know me. Amen. Oh, knowing him. Listen, because he lives, we have a personal Savior and a personal salvation. Number two, I want you to jot this down if you're taking notes. Number two, turn to Romans chapter 6, please, if you would. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. This is all because he lives. If he ain't alive, we're all in trouble. Can I get a witness on that one? You can read 1 Corinthians 15 on that. If he didn't rise, we're in trouble. Amen. But because he lives, we have a personal Savior and a personal salvation. But let me give you the second thought. Romans chapter number 6, if you would. Let me just say this. Because he lives, we have a powerful Savior and a powerful salvation. Amen. It's just not personal. It's powerful. It's powerful. Watch this. Our future deliverance from sin's penalty is not the only salvation that hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You say, what does that mean? That means this. Because he's alive and he's promised me that I'll never perish. I'll never die and go to hell. I'll never die and go to the lake of fire. My deliverance from that eternal punishment depends on his being alive. It's him delivering me from sin's penalty. Amen. But until then, he needs to be alive to deliver me today from sin's power. And because of the resurrection, he's alive right now, living for you and for me to help us, to deliver us. Amen. Ain't no doubt about it, is it? If there is no resurrection, there is no hope of salvation. If there is no resurrection, there's no hope of sanctification. You say, what is sanctification? If I could sum it up in the most simplest way, it's becoming everything God wants me to become. If Jesus Christ is not alive right now, I don't have the power to be everything he wants me to be. But because he is alive, I can connect with him. I can call on him. He can help me. Amen. And that's the wonderful thing about it all. Amen. If he wasn't alive at the time that Peter was beginning to sink, who in the world would have lifted him up? Amen. You recall that, don't you? Peter walked on water looking at the living Savior, able to do it. But when he got his eyes off the Lord and he focused on the circumstance, he began to sink. But when he was beginning to sink, he wasn't going all the way. He cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately the hand of God, Jesus, grabbed him and lifted him up. Amen. What do you think can keep us going in this crazy world? Amen. There are many times where we begin to sink in situation, but he's alive and we can say, Lord, help me. And he can help us. Amen. He can help us. Thank God, because of the resurrection, we can have salvation and sanctification. I want you to look at Romans 6 very quickly, if you would. Beginning verse number 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized or put into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, talking about that powerful resurrection, even so, we also should what? Walk in newness of life. Amen? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. This could not be possible without Jesus Christ. Amen? I want you to note what Paul said. By the way, we don't turn there, but we looked at Paul's testimony in Philippians chapter 3, about him letting go what he believed and knowing him as his personal Savior. Do you know what he wanted to know after knowing him as his personal Savior? In Philippians 3:10, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know and I want to experience what his resurrection can do in my life. Amen? Ain't that wonderful? He died to save us from sin's penalty. He lives to save us from sin's power. In fact, the book of Hebrews, some have called it the fifth gospel because it continues the story of Jesus Christ. Where is he now? What's he doing now? Amen? And we know according to Hebrews 2:18, for in that he has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor, to aid, to deliver them that are tempted. He's right now at the right hand of God, and he is able. We saw him defeat the devil. We saw him defeat the devil in the wilderness. Amen. He was tempted like we are. And when we come to him, he's merciful to us, and he can help us. He's alive to do that. The problem is, to be honest with you, sometimes I don't want him to be alive, because I want to say what I want to say, do what I want to do. Can I get a witness on that one? Amen. Hebrews 4, don't turn there, 14 to 16. The Hebrew believers, I know you're going through the book of Hebrews. The Hebrew believers, as you well know, were so tempted to throw in the towel. To not hold on to the profession, to not maintain their living and their lifestyle. They were so tempted to throw in the towel. That book is a book of exhortation to help them to keep on keeping on. That's what it is. But they're not to do it alone. The only way that I can keep on going is if I keep on coming. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Amen. These believers were about ready to quit and throw in the towel. And the Bible says Jesus is alive. Come to him and he can give you grace that will help you to keep on keeping on. The only way I've made it this far is I keep on going to him. In order to keep going, you got to keep coming. Amen. And then Hebrews 7:25 says this. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's alive for us. Amen. How many Christians ignore him? Don't even speak to him. Amen. We need to speak with him. We need to talk with him. Amen. No doubt about it. Number one, because of the resurrection, we have a personal Savior and salvation. We have a powerful Savior and salvation. Number three, and I quit. If you want to jot this down, because he lives, we have a perpetual Savior and salvation. You see, because he's alive, he's alive forevermore. Revelation 1:18, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. How long's your salvation? As long as my Savior. How long is that? Forever. Forever. Amen. John's, you know this, in John 10, I give my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, my Father which gave them me. No man can pluck them out of his hand. I remember a preacher saying, we're double padlocked. We're in the hand of Jesus. We're in the hand of God. We're double padlocked. And I remember hearing that years ago, and I would preach that all the time. But I found something. We're triple padlocked. You see, it's not just the Father and the Son. It's the Holy Spirit. We are sealed, safe and secure until the day of redemption. Amen? No doubt about it, right? Let me ask you this question. And by the way, we could go, I have several verses from Hebrews that I don't want to get into. But Jesus Christ went in and he obtained eternal redemption for us. It wasn't a temporary stuff he got. Those sacrifices, those animals were good for a yearly thing because those priests would die. But this priest lives forever. By the way, there was no chair in the tabernacle, but this priest, when he finished what he finished, he sat down because he finished the work. Amen. And that forever. Paul the apostle said this, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. Now watch this. And I know this, he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. The day he got saved, he committed his life and soul to the Lord. Amen. Now that's a wonderful statement, especially when you're sitting on death row. To have that confidence, amen? I ask you two questions in closing. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's the first question. And if so, do you know him as your powerful Savior? Do you know him as a powerful Savior? The song says, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I throw in there too, because he lives, we can fight today.
as Christians. Amen. We can fight the battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil because he lives. And then we can also forget yesterday because we're forgiven. Amen. Preacher, would you come? Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads if you would, please. Father, thank you for the precious word tonight. Thank you for the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because you are alive, we have a personal Savior and salvation. But we also have a powerful Savior and salvation. Those that neglect you on a daily basis as Christians will never know what you can do in and through their lives. Help our connection with heaven on a daily basis to be right. I know the devil tries to get many things between us and thee. But by the blood of Jesus, things can always be cleared. The way can be cleared. May we keep the way clear and let nothing between to shorten that power. And thank God, those of us that know you personally, whether we know you powerfully or not, we know you perpetually, because once we're saved, we're always saved. And I thank you for that. Bless the preacher as he comes, Lord, and as he closes up this service, in Jesus' precious name, amen.